everyone, and welcome to Raw Podcast. Today is going to be a spotlight for the Raw Collective Podcast. I know it gets a bit confusing sometimes, but today I have Paul Kerfoot on the spotlight because we are going to be at Outside Bike and Ski next week on May 10th. Live at 11:11 a.m. in the morning. And Paul has graciously said yes to be on the community spotlight today. I've known Paul for some time and he's such an awesome guy and does so many rad things in the community. And so Paul, welcome and thank you for saying yes for being on the spotlight.
Hi, Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm awesome. I think I'm like pumped up because I had a swim today, you know, after you go for a good bike ride or something and you're just like, you have a lot of energy.
Definitely the best way to start a day, I'd say. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So this is a bit different. So Paul is like the first guy on Raw Podcast. So thank you, Paul.
Well, thank you for giving me that honor. It's that's a huge mark of respect. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And just with people listening right now with the Raw Collective, it's not about just going to places that is women owned. It's small business within the Bow Valley. So there will be some men and women. We're spreading the love all around. So Paul, can you tell me a bit about yourself? Like, who are you? Big question, I know, but.
Well, I grew up in Winnipeg, spent the first 20 years of my life there. And then had an opportunity to come out and visit the mountains. So I came out and visited Canmore. And shortly after that, I had made plans to move out. And shortly after moving there, I got heavily into mountain biking. And it became a passion in my life, you know, between that and snowboarding and skiing and just being outdoors. So that spawned the entrance into the outdoor retail industry and service industry. And that's kind of led to where I'm at now. So I've been running Outside Bike and Ski with Eric Stonehouse for the last 10 years. And, or actually, I guess we're coming on to 12 now. Sorry, time flies.
Amazing.
I work with the local fire department as well and try and be involved as many, you know, community cycling events and whatnot as possible.
That's awesome. I actually didn't know that. I didn't know that you volunteered at the fire department in town. Something new. Because I was going to ask you, what's something else that people wouldn't know about you? So that's something I didn't know about you, but
yeah,
something else.
I speak three languages. I can speak French and I'm fluent in sign language as well. I grew up with a deaf sibling. So those two can be surprises to people sometimes.
That's amazing. Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm learning lots about you. So how did Outside Bike and Ski come to life?
Outside came to life, we opened up in 2010 and there was a shop prior to that in town called Couloir Ski and Bike. But when they went out of business, there was kind of a pretty big gap in town. As the owner, Kevin McNaughton said, when he kind of opened it up, he said, well, you know, with the other places in town, you know, he's like, I didn't really feel like I fit in. I didn't have anywhere I could go buy a tube. He said, you know, one didn't quite, you know, make me feel like I was included enough. And the other one didn't make me feel like I was kind of racy enough. You know, times have changed. So that's not necessarily the vibes anymore. But he just wanted a place that was super friendly, open and inviting. And so he approached myself about being involved in starting the shop up, knowing the community involvement and the involvement in the cycling community at the time. And you know, I pretty much as soon as we opened, I think people were super receptive to the overall atmosphere of a super friendly, welcoming, informative shop in town. So from there, it kind of just, it went on, you know, and we kind of gave a place for every cyclist, whether they're a commuter, a cruiser, you know, hardcore elite rider, racer, a place to come and everybody feel like they could get the same treatment, the same information, the same respect and the same great service.
Yeah, and I 100% agree with that. I know I love coming to your shop. I always feel welcome. I never feel like at a place. It's just, yeah, it's a great vibe in there. So amazing. Thanks for answering that, Paul. So what is your story what is the story behind Outside? This kind of similar question, but like, if you were to take it like a layer, like deeper, like what is the story behind Outside Bike and Ski? Is there a story?
I mean, you know, I think, when the store was not yet opened, I think, Kevin, having been in the bike industry for years, really, and also having lived in Canmore for a long time, really saw that it was a great cycling community. And, you know, there was a potential to do, you know, something that hadn't really done in the Valley, right? Offer the customers, you know, a completely different shopping environment where we have loads of products on the wall. We have super knowledgeable, great staff. So, you know, I think the story came in that sense with just really aiming to provide something a little different. You know, the old days of bike shops definitely were a little bit tricky sometimes for people to feel involved. You know, times have changed a lot, you know, as the cycling world has grown, way more inclusivity. I think the pivot that needed to happen with the environment in bike shops was a big necessity. And so that's always been my goal is to create, you know, a place where, you know, you can walk in and not feel intimidated, you know, despite even the overall idea of walking into a place with, you know, people who are super knowledgeable and passionate and do it a lot. Yeah. And so, you know, that kind of roundup was a conversation that we had always had, you know, from before day one to current day is how can we do something different? Like, how can we stand out? How can we provide our community with something better? So always digging deeper to be able to do that for everybody to be able to enjoy their cycling or outdoor needs as much as possible.
Yeah, I know. I surround myself with a lot of amazing women in my life and in the cycling world or triathlon world, whatever it is. And I know some of the stuff in the past, it's not so much now in the present time, but women were like a little bit intimidated and going in the shop and doing that. But I feel like that's shifted. Like, I feel like it's shifted and it's not there as much. What do you think?
It's amazing to hear that from you. Cause I do agree that in the majority of places you see that shift. And part of that is just especially with women, seeing how many women are coming into cycling, like it's absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, over the course of, you know, 20 years of being involved in the cycling industry, whether it's racing my bike, you know, downhill at an elite level or enduro or, you know, service, you know, at stage races and whatnot, the growth in women in the sport has been, you know, just one of the most inspiring things out there from, especially given the nature of what you just spoke about, that intimidation factor, right? It was, for a long time, it was, you know, a kind of an old boys club, even though there's always been some phenomenal ladies in it, but even with some of those ladies, I think it was the nature of what they had to do to be at the level and be accepted, I think made it even intimidating for them to bring ladies into the sport.
Yeah.
And I think that's really broken now with just so many different women of all walks of life, all skill levels, all abilities, all, you know, intense, whether it's racing or just having fun. And so I think shops have catered to that, more women in the industry. It's really the biggest growing portion of our sport. And the excitement that comes with it is phenomenal because that inclusivity, I think, is being felt and the opportunities are there and the support, you know, from the shops and then from just the number of women that are experienced in the community is absolutely breathtaking to see. I think that's been a huge factor in breaking down that intimidation when you walk into these stores.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I'm like, I've recently taken up gravel biking and I do it casually. I don't race at it or anything, but I notice more women kind of leaning into that too. And not necessarily on a competitive level. Like these are just the people I'm surrounded by, not everybody out there, and I think that's really cool. Cause I always ask them what they're interested about that. And they just like the peacefulness of it, of just getting it on a road, you know, but it would be really cool to see something in the community where there was, you know, there aren't a lot of places to gravel bike here, but like, it'd be neat to have a little community for that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And I think you're right. Like in terms of seeing, what's that? Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
We've seen a large sort of draw to that from the ladies in the community and the girls. And I think part of what that desire is, exactly what you say, that peacefulness. And also it doesn't have a beginning in racing gravel biking. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of that, you know, that meditation aspect of being on a road bike, except for you don't really have to worry about the cars.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a big part of it for me that I love, you know. Yeah. There is actually a gravel bike event coming to town here. I just found out it's one of my friends that's launched a new event in town. So I'll tell you about it some other time. But
awesome. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's like more of a triathlon. Like it's like a swim and a gravel bike and then a trail run. It's happening in September. So yeah, it's
really right cool. On.
So anyways, this is just like having a conversation in the living room. So what is one piece of advice that you would share with new entrepreneurs, maybe people that are wanting to start a business or they are in a business? What would be the one piece of advice you would give them?
I would say people always have to shoot for their goals, right? Set that goal high and work as hard as you can to achieve it. I think success is one of those things that's really hard to come by if you don't push yourself to the limit and take a risk in yourself. You know, if you've got an idea, believe in it, trust it, and work as hard as you can for it. And you know, if you put everything you've got into it and you've got you know, got a great idea and good people supporting you, you just have to put all of your faith in it and go for that. Mm-hmm. And you should be able to create success out of that.
Beautiful. So just to wrap it up here, Paul, is there anything like happening at Outside Bike and Ski? Like anything you want to share, like new coming up? This is your opportunity to share with the world.
Well, nothing groundbreaking. You know, obviously we're constantly trying to improve our service in the community. So we've ramped up our service staff this year to be able to keep our wait times for services, you know, under 2 weeks. And so far we're keeping it around a week, which is, you know, a huge thing for us and our customers. Everybody's been super happy with the speed of turnaround, especially in the busiest time of year. We're looking forward to a season of normal events again. So being out there, you know, whether it's with donations to keep people stoked for their activities, you know, participation and just getting people out. I think we've had a couple of years of not being able to do things or uncertainty. So really excited to have some racing back in the Valley, a bunch of our athletes going elsewhere for the races. So I'm really excited to support them and see people getting back to sort of their normal cycling lives and being able to push themselves in a safe and fun environment. You know, we're trying to support as many groups as we can in whatever capacity that we can to enable those things to happen as well too.
Yeah, and a big thank you to you for supporting the Fearless Warrior Swim event, first ever this weekend. So thank you.
You're welcome. That's awesome. That's going to go great.
Yeah. So Paul, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the spotlight, community spotlight today. And if anybody, I'll be putting lots of stuff in the show notes. Where are you more on Facebook or Instagram? Where can people catch?
Instagram's probably our best information feed. But Facebook, we try to link as much of it to that as possible as well too. So those are both great platforms to sort of see what we've got going on and what kind of products and what kind of events are happening in the Valley and the people we're supporting.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Paul. And have a great day. I look forward to launching this spotlight.
Well, thank you again very much for having me on board. I feel very, very privileged and honored to be the first guy in the first community spotlight there. So thank you and keep doing what you're doing. It's amazing to see what you're doing for the ladies in sport and the community as well.
Thank you so much, Paul, for being on the Community Spotlight, which is connected to Raw Collective Podcast. It is a monthly podcast that drops usually at the beginning of the month. The next one is next week, and Christy, myself, and Andrea are so excited to be launching this. Our topic will be on identities. We're super stoked to talk to you about that. So much juicy stuff to dive into there. We'll be live from Outside Bike and Ski in Kenmore. on May 10th, which is next Tuesday at 11:11 a.m. You can come on by and listen to us live from the shop, or you can just hop on Facebook, join the group. It's called Raw Collective Podcast, and catch us there. And if you don't, we will be posting within 48 hours of the edited version of the podcast. So thank you, everybody, for being here, supporting. And again, this is a monthly thing, and we'll be announcing our next spot coming up soon. Keep being amazing, keep being you, and have a fabulous day.